Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hi.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And joining us today for this very special episode, you know him, you love him, it's one of the hosts of the Doughboys, the Burger Boy himself, Nick Weiger is here.
That's me. Happy to be here. Hey, buddy. Thanks for making time for me.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We should play the Burger Boy theme song.
Oh, there you go.
Did Mitch make that, or did, well, Jeff made it, right?
I made it.
Yeah.
Mitch had,
that was very
Mitch
funny.
Would get the based on an idea by credit from the WGA.
But he wrote the lyrics too.
Yeah. But right, you know, that was a lot of work from the shoe leather from Dutton and Van Artstalen.
And Van Arts doing the animation. Yeah. I remember at the live show where he showed that. Where was the live show where he showed that?
That was at the now shuttered UCB Sunset. That was our first ever Doughboys live show. That was, I believe, in 2017, might have been 2016, with our guest Fran Gillespie at, and we reviewed 7-Eleven for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That must have been, I think that was like episode 70 or something like that. So it was, you know, it was relatively, you all know how quickly podcast episodes stack up. So it was relatively early in our run. But yeah, that was a really strange thing, because like a lot of people we just know, including, y'all were like just there. And like just came to see the show, which was, you reach a certain point as from doing like sketch shows and improv shows and stand up and whatever. It's just like, how often do your friends show up to just like see you? You know what I mean? Like they're maybe there if they're doing another show.
To just enjoy you.
But they're just like, yeah, we're just here to watch. I was like, this is strange.
Well, I remember it being a good show and like a weirdly like sentimental show. And then at the end of it, Mitch turns to the screen and says, and now I've made a video.
Yes.
And then the video, and he played the video. And when it ended, you said something along the lines of like, there's no fucking way you made that.
It's also, I mean, it's a very funny video, but it's like pretty simple animation and stuff. And it's still to be like, there's no way you did that. All right. Then we got Nick Weiger here. We don't have Mike Mitchell here. We got, love him as we do. We got Weigs. We got the Weig man.
Happy to be here. What a treat.
We love you.
Weig man, we go way back to, we were in a sketch group called The Birthday Boys.
That's right.
Weiger was in a sketch group called A Kiss from Daddy. We were paired up for 4 years-ish. We would do we would each do a new half hour every month. And the two groups were best friends. And it was a magical time in our lives.
It really was wild.
That was really fun.
And one of those groups ended up having a TV show, which is pretty silly something.
That's nice. But that's nice to remind us. Thank you.
No, that was my old sketch group, A Kiss from Daddy. I think we've referenced it on the Doughboys podcast, but it's
it'd be funny if you didn't for over 300 episodes.
Never came up.
It's possible it has not come up, but it was a whole bunch of people that you know from Randy Comedy and from doing other podcasts. It was me, Eva Anderson, Neil Campbell, Paul Rust, Dave Horwitz, Mookie Blakelock,
Harris Whittles,
Michael Cassidy, and then Harris Whittles, RIP. It was the nine of us.
Al McLeod
as well. Yes, McLeod, McLeod. Yeah. I said nine of us, but I only named seven people. So of course that was the that's the eighth one. Al McLeod, yeah, Molasses Boy himself.
The eighth wonder of the world, we used to call him.
Molesta's boy would just write like the funny, like the weird, funniest, weirdest sketches. And then I'm looking back on him, it's like, I can't believe we did a sketch where it was like Alan McLeod was playing a mafia guy who was being like interrogated by the cops trying to pass a polygraph. And the way he got through all the polygraph questions was by asking himself in his brain Back to the Future trivia. I was like, that's the weirdest concept.
Weirdest specific, yeah, too.
No, I think it's really relatable, naturally inspired. Yeah. It's just straight from your life.
I remember one time he had a sketch where it was like he was playing, you're going to have to help me with this, but he was playing Murder, She Wrote. Was that the show?
That's right. Yeah. Murder, She Wrote. Yeah.
And he was playing the son of the creator. So he was calling himself Murder, She Wrote's little son.
Yeah. I can't remember.
His song,
it was,
too.
He did have a song, yeah. And I can't remember if it was Murder, She Wrote's little son or Murder, little She Wrote son? Junior or something like that. But like, like his name was Murder, She Wrote something. And it's just like this weird guy being, I'm Murder, She Wrote's son. Like, what the fuck is going on? Audience is eating it up. Like, what is comedy?
That's insane.
God bless him.
Fun fact about me, when I was a kid, my parents and grandparents would watch Murder, She Wrote, and my grandmother looked close enough to Angela Lansbury, ooh, that I thought my grandmother had a television show.
Wow, that's awesome.
Grandma's on TV.
Did you ever broach this with her, or were you just like process it as a little kid and just keep it to yourself?
No, I was like, wow, grandma's got a TV show. And my parents are like, sorry, what? And, and then they parsed it out and they laughed at me, Nick.
That's great.
It's amazing when you're a kid, you would just take that to be the case. And I was just talking to Dave Ferguson was showing me pictures of his son Oliver at Disneyland, and he was hugging all the characters. And Oliver's at that age where like he was hugging Mickey Mouse, and it was a cute picture. And I was like, so he thinks, like, he doesn't know that's just a mascot. He thinks that's like the real Mickey Mouse. And Dave's like, yeah, he like believes that's Mickey Mouse. And I was like,
Dave's son is 15, by the way.
But he's like, he thinks that's the real Mickey Mouse. And I was like, oh, that's cute. And then I was like, but he thinks it's a mouse. Like, yeah, isn't that right, weird? Right. Even just that big mouse. That's weird.
Yeah.
I saw this guy in a cartoon and now I'm naturally seeing him in person and he's a big mouse.
Yeah. He's not as flat in real life.
Yeah. Who wears clothes and
I got to hug him.
Yeah. You got to hug him and he's probably going to eat some cheese later.
I love him. Yeah.
I love him. I'm in love with him.
I have to hug him now, Dad.
I'm glad though that that's a kid who does hug the mouse. Mascot, because I feel like every kid loves Mickey Mouse, and then they see Mickey Mouse, and then the parents have to like push the shy child towards the mascot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just going from what Nick's talking about, like, here's the guy you see on TV all the time, and now he's right in front of your face. I'd be like,
yeah.
If you saw what you thought was the real Bugs Bunny walking down the street, you'd be like, I don't want to touch him.
For sure.
Like, look, I love him, but I don't want to touch him.
No, I experienced that when we saw the Ninja Turtles at Disney. I don't know what they were doing there. This was at a time when like the rights were such that like the Ninja Turtles were there and like there was like they were signing autographs for the kids. And I was like,
how were the costumes? Were they like shitty or kind of okay? Because they've been
to me, they looked as good as the movie. But like at the time, God, they were like, I'm sure they were shitty, but whatever. To me, I was just like, oh, wow, it's Michelangelo and Raphael or whatever. And Leonardo, my favorite Donatello, who does machines. And my parents were like, go get their autographs because they were signing little autograph books. And I got too shy. I didn't do it.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so, man. Wow. Yeah.
Those autographs would be really worth something now. God damn.
They would, yeah. I mean, those guys are stayed famous, so.
I got a little autograph book when I went to Disney World as a kid, and I still have it somewhere. And I was getting autographs, Chip and Dale, Goofy, one of my faves, the big hitters. And then there was this cop that was just kind of like chasing a robber around. There was like this little scene they were doing around people and stuff. And his name was Warren Peace, which I didn't understand at the time. And he took he's like, oh, yeah, I'll sign your thing. And he signed it like a couple times on a page and like did a couple pages really fast. And I was like, no, you can't do it. You're ruining it. He's wasting pages. And like, if I look through, there's probably maybe an eighth of the pages were used the whole trip.
Yeah, those books are like 200 pages long.
Yeah.
I like that exact
autograph. This is fine
book.
If Chip or Dale wants to do this, but yes, not yeah. War and Peace. I don't
Dude,
know you.
When I went to Disney World, I was like, I want to say it must have been like 7 or 8 or something like that. we did the breakfast with the characters.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this?
I've been to one of those.
It's like a lunch, or like a breakfast buffet. And
is
they
that
do
what the Breakfast Club is about?
Stop.
Yeah, I think so. Chip or Dale, not sure which one,
ooh,
comes up to our table. He's goofing around, right? This guy in the suit grabs the syrup dispenser and jokes of pouring syrup on my head. And actually pours syrup on my head.
Holy shit. That's nice, right before a long, hot day at Disney World. Like
doing a weird prank. And again, my parents thought it was so funny. It was clearly a mistake. And he did the thing where he puts his hands over his head. Yeah. And he's like, oh, no. And then they were like, it's fine. It's fine. And then we did have to go back to the hotel and they had to like hose me down before we went out for the day.
It's not fun.
It's not
our
funny.
Dork son is all sticky.
But like, what an overreach to be like, I'm going to pretend to pour syrup on a kid's head.
Yes. Yeah. It's maybe a stunt he's done before. And then he just, just did once something went awry.
Yeah, you hear him like inside the mask. He's like, who's fucking filling these things up so much?
They shouldn't be filled too high. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw, but our friend Mike Mitchell just texted us. He's paranoid. He said, the four of you together, go easy on me, boys. So he knows we're recording a pod.
Oh, shit.
And he's he's worried that we're going to roast him. What type of dish, what dirt could we
Well, we roasted him about the idea of him making that Burger Boy video.
We did already make fun of him. So yeah,
that's true. I don't think we need to step back to that.
So we kind of already did.
We got it out.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Hey!
Yeah, don't talk to me on the podcast. Don't talk about me, the protagonist of reality. We're not all obsessed with you, Mitch.
You guys want to get into some booze news?
Oh, shit.
Let's do it.
Oh, hell yeah. Bip, 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 bip. Booze news. Hit it. Mezcal. What's
up? Back once again. And so.
Booze news. Booze News was sent to us by Henry Johnston. And if you have a Booze News theme, email it to thesloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Where was that tequila thing from? That was from a live show.
That was us in Raleigh, North Carolina. We kept singing tequila.
Oh, yeah, because people would bring tequila shots up and we'd be singing that.
And it was too long. We'd be like, ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da. And then it takes like 40 seconds to get to the tequila part every time we did a shot.
The three people you're paying to see drink your booze. We really pulled a trick on the live audience there. Hey, you can bring us shots if you want.
Oh, God.
Cool.
Here's the top story in booze news.
Ooh.
Guys, we've got company. We got a little competition because do you watch a lot of Fox Nation?
Of course.
A lot, not a lot, but it's my main news source.
I remember it took us 3 days to watch the Rob Schneider stand-up special. Oh,
yeah, we did subscribe. We did a free trial so we could watch Rob Schneider.
We subscribed
stand-up.
At Hanford's house, and he was like, oh, do we have to log in on my house?
How long is the special?
Like
an hour.
Normal length.
Yeah, an hour. Wow. I forget how it ends. It ends in a really funny way. He goes through all of his characters that he does in Sandler movies at one point.
Of course. It was called like Woke Up in America, like in that America.
Yeah. Woke Up in America, woke,
Which is true. It is too woke, yeah. Anyway, if you watch Fox Nation, there's a new show coming out. Get ready for Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, John Lovitz, Kevin Nealon, George Wendt. Hit the clip, Jeff.
Joe and a bottle of rum.
The beverages that drove the world. Beer, wine, spirits, tea, coffee, and soda.
It is water. The American drink.
I need more than just one sip.
Tell you what, this is very manly.
Yeah, oh, very manly.
Let's drink our faces.
I never take two lumps before dinner. It ruins the appetite.
Can I give you some feedback as a bartender? You suck.
Yep. It's called History of the World in Six Glasses, which is a book about like alcohol history. But guys, it's a bunch of comedy dudes sitting around drinking the drinks and kind of being funny while they're drinking the drinks. We're fucked. Yeah.
Well, how long? They're doing how many episodes? Six drinks?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got 172 episodes.
So it's a numbers game.
That's right.
They've got us in quality, but we got them in quantity.
When we started this podcast, I remember you guys came to my office and were like, hey, we got this idea for the podcast. And I turned around in my chair, high back chair, and I was like, okay, I'm listening. You told me. I was like, okay, this is going to be a numbers game. you said we're comfortable with this. I said, great, then I'm going to put my guys on this. Let's do it.
Did you know that these guys are all conservative guys?
Okay, so first off, these episodes are like an hour long, which I'm surprised by. But the other thing is like, yeah, I don't think, maybe Lovitz, although I think of right. all these guys as kind of apolitical, and I wonder if it's more just like, well, they've just kind of done the research of like the demographics of Fox Nation subscribers line up with right. the kind of, you know, a boomer audience for, you know, yeah, a Cheers cast guys. Member and a couple of
yeah.
Blues Brothers, you know, I don't know. It's a fascinating pairing though. Cause you could see
Blues
this
Brothers
show
2000 also.
Right. Blues Brothers 2000, of course.
No, I think that was John Goodman. Sorry. Yeah.
there would have been because this show it seems like, unless there's some weird political stuff that it gets into when it's talking about like beer and wine and tea and their relation to American culture, this feels like a show that could just be on like what not MSNBC, but like, you know, Discovery Channel or something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
right.
History Channel maybe.
Yeah, but it is. I'm trying to think though. Lovitz, you're right. Wasn't there something with Victoria Jackson?
Victoria Jackson is became insanely right wing.
She's like a Q person.
Like,
I think.
Yeah, she's like a Q person. But like even pre-Trump, she had gone like very right wing conspiracy theorist.
Oh wow!
I remember that from like the 2012 campaign. Even Victoria Jackson was very far right by then.
Mm-hmm. It's funny when you're already like a kooky groundling who talks all kooky and stuff and then,
yeah,
and then
right.
you kind of lose your mind and it's like, oh yeah, well that makes sense. Off you go.
Off you go. Here's a mic.
Well, anyway, this is our competition, so we got to make sure we beat him. And Mike, you opened for Kevin Nealon on tour, no?
I did. Not on tour. I did a couple shows with him, sort of spaced out. But his crowd... If it's the crowd that would listen to this, I can see why they did not like me very much, the crowds.
How can anyone not like you?
That's what I said. That's what I kept pleading to them.
That's what I said. Into the mic.
How can you not like me?
I have a friend, a very funny stand-up, Dave Thomason, who opened for, I think he'll be okay with me telling this story, but opened for Andrew Dice Clay back in the day.
Wow.
And Dave is an extremely funny guy, very funny stand-up, just great joke writer. But Dice Man told him beforehand, you got to work clean. And because Dice Clay's act is so dirty that he doesn't want someone to go out and do dirty stuff ahead of time. But his audience is all there to see like the raunchiest, nastiest jokes, you know, stuff that like,
right.
And so he's going up and having to do like a clean set to a bunch of like drunk 60-year-olds who are there to hear like filthy limericks. And it's an impossible sort of scenario. So yeah.
What a weird request.
He just wants his opener to bomb and make him look good.
I guess. Yeah. It's so wild.
I gotta make some more limericks in my act.
More than you already have.
I feel like that's the thing where it's just like, I'll do some dirty limericks. I have a bit I've done the monster fuck that's just like, yeah, it's just like the
classic.
Dumbest, God bless you, but it's just like the dumbest, grossest, like, it wasn't even like meant to be like, haha, this is what I think is funny. It was just like, hey, this is like an excuse to do extremely filthy like song parody with some context, and people could not love it more. And I'm just like, oh. Yes. It's just like, oh yeah, well, like,
and count me in with that group.
But I think that's the sort of thing where if you start doing filthy limericks, you just start integrating that into that act, people would like love it so much, and then you just be the filthy limerick guy.
There are certain like live comedy things that I'll remember because like the whole room was laughing. I've been in the room for Comedy Bang Bang on Halloween when you've done it, and it's like, even though everyone knows the lyrics and the stuff, this is like, how many years have you done this now, like 11
something like 100. That sounds right.
It's like if you're in the room, people are dying laughing who had already heard it, It's the funniest thing. And why the way you do it, Weiger, is so funny because you're so pissed off for some reason.
Like, you really relish that F. Fuck.
What's the singer's name again?
Leo Carpazzi is the character. Carpazzi. Yeah.
Is that the real
song? It is the real guy. I misspelled his name, but it's a real guy. It's the actual writer of the Monster Mash. Name. Yeah.
But it's like, he's so like... He's like, oh, I'm just going to sing a song. And then he's so angry at it. So folks, go watch it if you haven't seen it.
God bless you.
We had a special show where we did like a switch cast where the Birthday Boys did a Kiss from Daddy sketches and a Kiss from Daddy did Birthday
yeah.
Boys sketches.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And
that was great.
I did the monster fuck. And like, you know, normally you do this, you maybe have your own take, but I did Leo Carpazzi. I did an impression of Nick and I did that song and it fucking killed. And I remember it was kind of like the best feeling and then the worst feeling where I walked off like, that's the best I've ever done in my life. And then I was in the green room like, oh no, that's the best I've ever done in my life.
You're great. I remember that. That's very funny.
But I didn't I just did it word for word exactly. And I was trying to be you and the audience liked it.
I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I feel like you had kind of your own spin on it, whether it was intentional or
maybe
not.
Maybe I rocked the house. Yeah,
I think you're great.
Thank you.
But yeah, that sort of thing can absolutely be a trap. I'm fascinated by this show. I'm fascinated that it's on Fox Nation. I kind of do want to watch it because if it is just a straight ahead, these guys just like, you know, yucking it up and not doing anything political, I don't know that this could actually be interesting if there's some real information in this about the history of spirits.
Yeah. Or the other side of it could just be cringy enough to be like, ooh, this is interesting.
That's true too. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be not fun.
Or maybe it's just right down the middle.
But like Fox Nation has to have some semi-normal stuff, right? Like they can't all be like Hunter Biden documentaries.
Yeah. Hunter Bunter.
Hunter Bunter.
Hunter Bunter. Yeah.
This is, I know we're not going to do this too much, Jeff. This is not on video, but I want to talk about Nick's setup here on the video screen.
Sure.
If you're familiar with the album, Elliott Smith album, Either Or.
I'm going to look it up right now.
The way your room is lit reminds me of that.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see this.
He's standing in front of like a mirror or something with a bunch of squiggly lines on it, but it's a... It still has that
very
same
amber red. Nick and Elliott are very similar in their work.
I think it's the background too kind of makes me think that. All right, we're not talking about visuals. This is the audio.
No. Well, hold on, Nick. I got to ask about the keyboard behind you. You tickling them ivories?
Yeah, okay. I haven't been advertising this too much, but yes, I have been like trying. I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano. And so I've been kind of doing some. I started before the new year. I started sort of.
Nice.
I messed around with it back in the day, and I used to play woodwinds, and I did some music theory in high school. So I
we should teach us.
I remember some of that stuff. Like I remember like figured bass and you know like all the standard chord progressions and shit. But but like a lot of it's like kind of exited my brain. But I have some piano knowledge just from that, but never really how to like play a piece on my own. So yeah, that has been a thing I've been getting more into.
That's awesome.
Are you getting lessons from a person or just like looking on?
No, I'm not, but I've thought about it. I'm just like sort of watching video instruction and then like just going through books, honestly, like just doing exercises in books. Like I already, I know how to read music. So that's like a huge like leg up is that I can kind of just like read what I'm supposed to do. And a lot of it is just figuring out like how am I supposed to, you know, position my hands and when do I tuck my thumb underneath my middle finger or whatever. But a lot of that stuff just comes from practicing scales and shit. So
yeah,
it's fun. It's fun to learn new skills.
Damn. That's great.
Cool.
Well, we're going to, at the end of this episode, we're going to have Nick play Hot Cross Buns, a jazz version. He's going to put his own Elliott Smith spin on him.
Yeah. Jazz it up, Wise. Dazzle us. Okay. Hey, is that it for booze news?
Wrap it up.
That's it for booze news.
Love that sting.
Anyone?
Video game.
Yeah, that was from Punch Out.
Oh, Punch Out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I knew Nick would have it.
That's oh, is good. That when the guy's riding the bike behind you and you're jogging?
No, that's a different song. I think this is the song that plays either on Victory or maybe when you win an entire circuit, like if you advance from minor circuit to major circuit.
But okay, that one was just called You Win, but you might also be thinking of this one called Title Bout.
Good tune.
Got it. So that one's got a little more juice behind it.
Man, that like snare yeah. That's called static. It's called like pink noise or something.
White noise, pink noise, yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me so much of Double Dragon.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
That like when they walk in. Yeah.
Do you guys listen to white noise when you sleep?
I've never done that. No, I've never gotten into it. How about you?
I do it. I've been listening on Spotify. I'll play like 10 hours of Box Fan and and it's like very soothing, but sometimes I put it too loud and I wake up in the middle of the night like, ah!
Wakes me up. My brother and sister-in-law sleep with a giant fan in the room that's like always on high blast. I'll walk by their room to go to the bathroom. It's like,
wow.
Have you seen those things? That's like, it's like a white noise maker, but it's not a speaker. It's like an actual mechanical thing that is like spinning inside of a. Yeah. So it's creating like white noise, but there's something like moving inside of an orb or whatever. It's not an electronic white noise. It's almost like a fan.
I see.
Huh.
Analog.
Nick, are you playing Fortnite at all?
No.
I have played Fortnite in the past. I don't keep up with it. Do y'all play at all?
Nick, I thought you were anti-Fortnite.
I can't say I'm anti. So here's what happened is that my co-hosts of Get Played, my video game podcast, Heather Ann Campbell and Matt Apodaca, compelled me to play Fortnite for the podcast.
Yes.
And I'd like think it was like, haha, we're going to trick him into now he's got to do it. That shows him. And I loved it. I had a lot of fun with it. It's a really fun game. It's a really impressive design. It's just like, it's not for me because I don't play games to like get
shooty
competitive
games.
And like, yeah. I'm going to try to beat everyone. I want to win this online match. Like, it's just like, but as one of those goes, it has such an amazing sense of fun and has great art direction that I really, really enjoyed my time with it.
I just got a PS5 about a month ago and I'm into this Fortnite game.
Mike and I have been playing Zero Build. Zero Build's kind of the way to go.
It's the way to go. I mean, I have two nephews who are, both around teenage age. One's a little younger, and they both play Fortnite pretty much every night. And when I talked to them, they were like, we only play Build. They didn't understand what No Build was, what Zero Build was. And I sort of realized that it's like, it's for older people.
Because, easier.
It's easier because if you're young, it's like, of course you can pick up this incredible like added layer to the game. But if you're older, it's just
they're
too
like
much.
Minecraft generation. That I miss that.
100%. Yeah, they grew up playing that on iPads. Wait, let me ask you this while we're on this Fortnite tangent. Which skins do you play with?
I just have the Christmas tree.
That's fun.
I got it around Christmas tree, whatever the new season is, and that's the one I got.
I'm doing Ninja Turtles, Darth Vader, Wolverine, the Brat. The Brat's one of the fun like Fortnite skins.
That rocks.
Like, he's like a big hot dog.
Yeah. Do you the Brat, the Brat. So it's like kind of a
That's fun. The Brat.
I thought you were talking about Dub Brat.
That's what I thought too, which would not be implausible if DeBrat was in Fortnite.
Because there's the weekends.
You got Ariana Grande in there. What are you doing? What are you rocking, Wags?
So I haven't played for a long time. The last time I played, though, I had Giannis Antetokounmpo, NBA MVP.
The Greek freak.
That's right.
Name checked in our Smashing the Plates song.
That's right.
Wow.
I remember that was funny when that song came out, and I think Neil Campbell or maybe Ferguson texted the three of us, was like, you guys don't know who that is.
We did a live show in Milwaukee. We've done a few live shows in Milwaukee, and I assume y'all have y'all played Milwaukee?
We were going to.
We had great crowds there. But I was like, okay, we're in Milwaukee. Mitch has trouble like pronouncing words. So I was like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm going to write Giannis's name out and make him say Giannis's name in front of a Milwaukee crowd. And we're going to, like, this will be fun. And I go and he looks over at my laptop before I get to the bit. And he says, why do you have Giannis Antetokounmpo's name written out? And I said, like, wait, so you just nailed that? Like, you know,
well, you're a fucking buffoon.
He's probably yelling. Yeah, he's yelling about this guy all the time to his Boston friends. Like, of course. This fucking guy.
Right, because the Celtics are good, too. So they're probably playing a lot.
Yeah.
Are they in the same division or
they're in the same. They're both in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, they are rivals.
Nice.
Dang.
You gotta love that.
Well, with booze news shrinking into the rear view, we turn our attention now to the drink of the day, Weiger.
I love it.
And as we get toward that drink of the day, let's see.
It's not here yet. It's coming towards us.
Yeah, it's on the horizon.
In the rear view, we got Booze Who's, and on the horizon, we're in this kind of weird little zone here.
If you really squint, you can see the drink of the day.
This is our dry January episode. We're recording at the very end of January. It's going to drop in
right
February.
At the buzzer.
But we wanted Weigron because we were like, that's a guy that we know who has gone through some
heavy shit,
non-drinking periods. The guy.
Sorry.
The guy's drinking a liquid death right now.
That's
so
right.
So this is a guy that we know historically he's gone through some non-drinking. But then I also remember Weiger. I remember one time really early days at the birthday boy's house where we were all talking about how many beers do you think you drank in your life? And you said, I probably had 5,000 beers in my life. So that means I know that you're not a non-drinker overall. At one point in your life, you drank 5,000 beers, and you're currently doing a dry January. What's your whole relationship to alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, it is like I imagine anyone who drinks regularly kind of has this like sort of love-hate sort of thing with
booze. Just trying to get into this mindset, Nick. Trying to imagine this type of person. Keep going. Yeah.
Hypothetical.
But like, there's times when it's just like, I really do it. Like I'm like, this is like the most fun, or like I use this to relax or come down at the end of a stressful day. And it kind of feels like, oh, this is like a thing I look forward to and a thing I enjoy. And then there are other times that I'm just like, I'm regularly overindulging, or I'm using this to avoid dealing with what's really troubling me in my life. Or I've just habituated myself to like drinking a full bottle of wine every night. Or for a time earlier in my life, when I had talked about drinking 5,000 beers, it was like a much sadder version of Wilt Chamberlain's brag in his memoir. I was regularly.
And he drank 6,000 beers. Yeah. I slept with 10,000 beers.
I had a stretch where I was like. But I've talked about this on Doughboys, but like, you know, I was really depressed and I was working this shitty job and testing video games and answering customer support, answering phone calls from angry parents. And at the end of my shift, I would go to 7-Eleven and I would get a 40 ounce of Mickey's fine malt liquor. And I drink that like every night to the point where the guy working there started calling me Mickey Man. He'd be like, hey, Mickey Man. And then that went on for long enough where he's calling me Mickey Man. And he started adding, hey, Mickey Man, hey, be careful. All right. You're a young guy. I got to stop doing this. But I was like,
hold on. In the same era, weren't you also starting the day with the Snickers bar breakfast?
Just every part of my life was not working for me. Like, my breakfast would be a vending machine Snickers bar. A vending machine, Mountain Dew Code Red, and a vending machine black coffee. I'd have that at the start of my shift.
A vending machine coffee. That's, I think, the weirdest one of the group.
It was real nasty. It was real nasty break room shit. So I've had that. I've also had eras where I was just like, I was regularly drinking like just like beer every night, you know? Right now, what I've been doing in recent years, I think everything was actually probably going pretty well until the pandemic. And then the pandemic, my drinking got just like terrible to the point where I just was like, I might have to quit forever. But what I've ended up doing is finding ways to mitigate that, just finding sort of, you know, just a lot of it for me is just like habituating myself in different ways, finding things like, you know, I end my day with a cup of tea as opposed to, a glass of wine, things like that. But the dry months have also helped me. I've done dry January has been, I've done this, I think, 3 years in a row now. I also did sober October in 2023. I like kind of having these sort of things because it's very, the days start ticking off very quickly and you pretty easily accustom yourself, or at least I do. I can't speak for everybody. I pretty easily accustom myself to like, oh wait, yeah, I can get by without this. And I notice things like how much better my sleep is, which is the main thing.
The sleep is
The sleep is huge. I've had so many bad nights of sleep, and I know I'm rambling here, but one more thing.
We're
I'll
just
say
ticking away the time.
In 2022, 2 years ago, I did dry January, and then I just was like, well, fuck, I'll just keep this going. And it just kind of kept going. And I extended it for February. I was like, oh, let's just keep going. And I ended up doing 6 months with no alcohol.
Wow.
And it was nice. It was finally July 4th weekend. And Natalie and I, my lovely wife, had a planned vacation in Vegas. And we were there. And it was like night two. And we were at like a nice steakhouse for dinner. And I was like, should I have a wine? She's like, yeah, you can have a wine if you want. And not persuading me one way or the other. And I was like, all right, sure. And I had a glass of wine. And let me tell you, that sip of wine was the best thing I ever drank in my life. I was like, this is so good. I love this. I never want to not be doing this. It was crazy how immediately I was like, every reason I had to stop just went out the window. And I was like, this is the best. I don't want to
sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the best. Oh, man. It's so funny to be like, I would rather be in a different state than I am naturally.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's a lot of people.
Remember when we were in Vegas together for on a Comedy Bang Bang writer's trip. And Nick, you were on that trip, right?
No, I wasn't there for that. No.
Is this somebody's bachelor party?
Well, we ate at Carne Vino, like a steakhouse where we had wine and stuff. But then, Mike, remember you were always doing an impression of the guy was like, can I carve your steak, sir?
It was a big, rich restaurant for me.
Big, rich restaurant.
May I carve your steak? May I put some of your steak in my mouth? May I chew the steak?
Okay, so those are the liquids that you drink now, Wagner. The one in previous Dry Januaries, we did an episode about O'Doul's, and then we've done a Shirley Temple, and then this time we wanted to pick another big classic that everybody knows. It is a non-alcoholic beverage, and it is called the Arnold Palmer. You've had?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I've had.
Yeah. I love Arnold Palmers. I think that's like, if I'm going to get something, honestly, rather have it than like a soda or a sweet tea in most sort of restaurant scenarios. Mm. There's certain contexts where I'd want a fountain soda, like at a movie or something like this. But like, yeah, I love an Arnold Palmer. And also, as I've gotten less into less of a sweet tooth as I've gotten older, like it's just sort of like, you know, the amount of bitterness you're getting from the tea really, really cuts the lemonade in a way. Whereas I don't know if I could drink a full lemonade anymore.
Yeah.
No way.
Full strength lemonade. Yeah. Feels like drinking a full Coke or something.
For
like
sure.
That.
Yeah. Just ordering a lemonade would be a weird thing as an adult. But I recall on Doughboys, wasn't there a thing where you didn't like the, like you make your Arnold Palmer in a specific way? You got your own ratio that you like?
Yes. Okay. So this is, the Arnold Palmer exists. I have claimed to be the inventor of the Nick Weiger, which to me is like the perfected Arnold Palmer.
How about the Arnold Weiger?
Arnold Weiger's pretty good.
That's not
good. Yeah. Go ahead.
But it's just not that. Like,
that's very good of you, Weiger.
It's not what the thing he likes to do.
But here's the thing. There is some controversy here that because the Arnold Palmer I always knew was 50-50.
Right.
In fact, I've even seen it called a 50-50 on some menus.
Right.
When I worked at a golf course snack bar, it was like the middle of the golf course, we sold 50-50s and not Arnold Palmer's. I mean, people would ask for Arnold Palmer, but it was on the menu as 50-50.
Yeah.
That movie 50-50 is about an Arnold Palmer, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure there's Arnold Palmer's in that movie. I think
So I've been like, I like it more like 2/3 tea and 1/3 lemonade. I think that ratio is better. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of people, and I think this is the case with the recipe we're going to be discussing, have said that the original Arnold Palmer recipe is that, and that it's been corrupted over time. My argument is that linguistics is descriptive, not prescriptive. Words mean what they mean, not what we intend them to mean. So if Arnold Palmer has come to mean a 50-50 iced tea lemonade, then we need something else to take the place of a 2/3, 1/3 iced tea lemonade ratio. And that to me is the Nick Weiger or the Nick Palmer, if you will.
Wow. I like that.
We must.
Well,
let me give you a little history on the Arnold Palmer. Now that we know where the Nick Weiger comes from, the Arnold Palmer, here's the thing. He's from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And one day after golfing, he got home and his wife always made iced tea. And he said, honey, I got an idea. give me some of that iced tea you make, but this time top it with a splash of lemonade. And she did it and he loved it. So then that became his drink. And then he would always order it at restaurants. And yeah, he would say an iced tea and then sweeten it with lemonade. And then one day he was in Palm Springs and he was there to like open a golf course or something. And he ate at a restaurant and he ordered his iced tea and lemonade the way he always does. And then a lady saw him drinking that and said to the waitress, "Hey, I'll have an Arnold Palmer." And then everyone started ordering him. So booze, the name sticks. Damn. It spreads all over the place. And then this drink, I got the recipe from webarchive.org.
Perfect.
That says,
that's my homepage.
This is written weird. Very weird. Palmer's own recipe is mostly iced tea plus a healthy splash of lemonade. Add ice cubes into a glass and use the lemonade as a sweetener for the tea. That's how Palmer himself does it. He does not mix half and half. He keeps the tea as the dominant part of the drink. About 75% tea, at least 2/3 tea. That's what I, there's a 30 for 30 short specifically about this drink. And he's like very forgiving about whether it's a quarter or a third. He's like about a third, 30%, but a third, but you know, it could be a quarter. So we're talking.
he's like, it's fucking lemonade and iced tea, man. Yeah. Let's talk about golf.
You would think you would just pick one or the other. It's funny to be about a third, but it could be a quarter, but it's okay.
That'd be funny to find out, like, I don't know anything about Arnold Palmer, but that he's, you know, a big golf guy. If like his attitude, his like personality was that like very wishy-washy and didn't like, he played golf great, but in his real life, he's like, I don't know. I could have this or that.
Indecisive fella.
I watched that 30 for 30 and it's like a short, it's not a full length thing, but I did not care for it because there's like some art apart, but it's like, I wanted like some actual history of this beverage. And so much of it is like Will Arnett, like doing a bit.
Doing comedy.
Yeah. He like, it's like Will Arnett like makes one, but it's like all him just like, you know, mugging to the camera and stuff. And I'm just like, I didn't sign up for this.
You don't go to 30 for 30 for your comedy.
Take that shit to Smartless.
Yeah. I'd love it over there.
Well, let's make a decision together, a quorum. Should we? Because this same article said, and then the 50-50 split has become the more popular accepted Palmer. So, guys, do we want to do Arnold Palmer's original, aka the Nick Weiger recipe, and see what that's like? And then maybe in round two, we experiment with the 50-50, or do we start with the big popular 50-50 and the tweak from there?
I think since we have Weiger on, we do the Weiger Palmer.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, yes. Great.
That way we're drinking a drink we like.
That's what I want to drink.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
All right, folks. We're going to go make these drinks. And when we come back, for sips.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And we're back. Arnold Palmer slash Nick Weigers in hand.
Ooh, big yes. Boys. Wow. Ooh, Jeff's got a little lime or lemon on it. Very nice. Yeah, lemon wheel.
I should have gotten a garnish. That's where I dropped the ball. I was feeling proud of myself, but I didn't get a garnish.
I was looking for mint today. I was looking for mint.
Well, Nick, you got ice, didn't you?
I did get ice.
Hey, bought a bag.
I was stunned to hear you were like, hey, do I need ice? I don't keep ice around the house.
We've become an ice-free household.
Is it like an environmentalist thing?
No, it's a combination of just a lack of freezer space. And that also, like, neither of us really likes ice all that much.
So you're like heat miser.
I wouldn't go that far. I like it like a chilled drink, but I don't need like ice cold.
Damn.
Yeah.
I want to frame this question somewhat delicately, but is the lack of freezer space due to anything severed? I know you keep sort of an odd social personal life.
Right. No, Mike.
Oh, okay, so there's no dead bodies in that freezer.
Did you guys expect your drinks to, they mixed together right away. I was hoping we'd have some two-tone effects here, but
yeah,
it plopped right in.
No, it really kind of just naturally melded together. I did some stirring, but
they want to be together. That's the thing.
That's a great point.
They belong together.
We all used unsweetened tea, correct?
That's correct.
Correct.
No, I had sweet tea.
I snuck a little honey. Well, let's get into it. Let's do sips first, then we'll talk about it.
Oh, baby.
Damn.
Ooh, wow.
Damn.
That is really hitting the spot. That is really, really refreshing.
That's a good drink.
Yeah.
It's a drink that I forget about, and I need to order it more when I go.
Isn't that a line in The Sopranos? I swear somebody orders an Arnold Palmer, and then somebody, maybe Paulie, is like, it never occurs to me to order those.
Yeah. I'm like Paulie.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, this is great. I did use sweet tea. I had this Gold Peak. Gold Peak tea. I don't know. I'm just looking at it.
I'm sorry.
Made with cane sugar. Gold Peak, everybody.
I used, what's that popular tea brand? Like Gold Leaf, Green Leaf or whatever, the unsweetened.
Oh, yeah.
There's Pure Leaf and then.
Pure Leaf.
Pure Leaf, I think, is one of the. Maybe that's. But there is Gold. What's the one you got, Hanford?
Gold Peak, P-E-A-K.
Ah. Cold Peak, yeah. I think they sometimes get conflated.
Yeah, that's because I thought I was getting the one you were talking about, Tim. And then Santa Cruz, I get the organic lemonade. Ooh. On this one. I went.
Wait a minute, that's just juice, or is that lemonade? Limeade? What is that? What
is lemon juice.
Oh, this is fucking limeade.
God damn it, Mike.
Mike, you fucked up a two-ingredient drink.
You're so confident. Like, I get this lemonade.
The fuck is this limeade doing in my hand?
Oh, you're God. The victim here, yeah.
Damn. Well, I was trying to, in 2024, not have this persona on the podcast where I'm a dunderhead, someone who cannot remember to do things correctly. And here we are. I'm going to take a sip, though, because I've never had limeade.
I got the same. I did get lemonade, but I got the same organic lemonade brand, Santa Cruz.
Oh, Santa Cruz.
I got the Santa Cruz organic lemon juice, and I had to make my own lemonade this morning with simple syrup and water.
Wow.
Jesus.
I'll tell you what, I brewed up some Lipton Black also. That's in this little tea jug.
Look at that. I love that.
I will say, for a simple drink, I bought the wrong thing, and then you had to make, like, this. We've gone off the rails of it. It's a very simple drink to make.
One thing I will say, I just had a swig of this lemonade brand, which I'm not familiar with. I don't normally get this, but this is what Sprouts, my grocery store, had. It's not as sweet as some other lemonades. Maybe it's because it's or maybe just feels that way because it's with made with cane sugar instead of corn syrup. But it's like I think that actually helps this construction of the Arnold Palmer, that it's not like an overly sweetened lemonade.
Like a Minute Maid would be bad. Like that type of.
Yeah, like a Country Time for sure. Mm-hmm. Same principle. Yeah.
What about a Paul Newman?
I think a Newman's Own could absolutely hit.
Newman's Own, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be a different drink. Arnold Palmer could be a Paul or Newman.
Well, okay, so I have this other thing, and I might not crack it open because maybe I'll just save it, but I wanted to have it for the pod because I was drinking Liquid Death, just regular sparkling earlier. But I have I'm a fan of the Liquid Death Armless Palmer.
Oh, I saw that today at Target Wigs,
which is being rebranded because there was a fear of litigation. So it's being rebranded as the Liquid Death Dead Billionaire. But this one is which I also don't like. Was Arnold Palmer a billionaire? He wasn't, right?
I don't think so.
Billion. Yeah.
They should call it the Dead Golfer.
There you go. Like, I get it, but I don't get it, you know, because it's kind of like, haha, Dead Billionaire. That's funny. But it's also like, but that's not connected to what the drink was.
That was probably also like a protective thing to be like, well, he wasn't a billionaire, so we're not talking about him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, all that is said, the branding aside, I do think this drink is a really good execution of the Arnold Palmer. And it's one with only 30 calories, which I like. And if you sometimes get like that big boy Arizona iced tea, that's a prefab one. The light can be OK, but the heavy is like so caloric that I can't have that regularly.
And that's got the man's name and signature on it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm sure that's what it was.
Guys, I got one of those cans in my very fridge. The light one. I'm gonna crack it in a few minutes.
Once in a while would bring back one of those big gallon jugs of that stuff.
Yeah.
Back from the grocery store. I was like, this is great. We can drink this all week.
Yeah. It's one. Sometimes the pre-made ones don't really work, but with this drink, maybe because it's just so simple, or maybe because the two things mix so naturally, it does work well if it's a canter bottle.
Oh, it's good.
It's good. It's a great drink.
How perfect is it that the boozy version of this drink with vodka in it, they call it the John Daly. John Daly.
Yeah, very clever.
And it's perfect. Yeah, it's like another golfer. And I knew he was like a drinker, but he would drink a bottle of vodka every day.
Ew. Intense.
And golf.
That's funny. I was going to ask, like, if you were to add liquor to this, what would it be? And vodka seems like the go-to.
Well, there's also, Seagram's makes that like sweet tea vodka. So lots of people do that with lemonade.
That's a very like 2005 little echo in my brain.
Right. I remember they served that at Birds.
I was thinking whiskey. Gin, I would think too, would go well in this, but like whiskey might with like kind of a whiskey sourish type of thing.
That's what I was thinking, because the tea, it kind of, and maybe it's just because they're both brown, but I was like thinking like a bourbon or something, or like a rye could work in there.
Mm-hmm.
If I did that, I would probably do a straight half and half with this and then add the bourbon.
Oh, that's smart.
So give a little more sweetness to it.
Smart.
Damn. Limeade.
But I don't ever get the boozy Arnold Palmer. I don't ever get the John Daly, because for me, mixing caffeine and alcohol makes me feel insane. Like, I just can't.
Sure.
I can't do that. It's disorienting.
No espresso martinis?
No, I can't do it.
No Four Loko?
I love it.
No Four Loko.
I'm crazy for them.
It'd be funny if we mentioned one. You're like, oh, yeah, I drink those all the time.
No Sidewalk Slammer? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Lots of Four Loko.
Yes. That's the one I do drink a lot.
That's the exception I'll make. Yes.
Even during dry January.
It's tough to turn down a cold Four Loko.
Yeah, I'm still pounding those every day. I'm going to stop my Four Loko habit.
Wake up to a Four Loko. I like
that. Well, if you had to change anything about this drink, what would it be?
I think it's a perfect drink. I in round two, I'm just going to drink my can of pre-made Arnold Palmer light.
Nice. I think I would do, I wouldn't change anything, but it would just depend on the ingredients. Like if I got a less,
Or if you bought the correct ingredient.
Well, I brought the correct. Let's assume I bought the correct Let's assume I've had this drink before. I used to make them at that golf course all the time I was talking about. Anyway, it just depends on like the sweetness levels of whatever liquid you get. So like if I got a, you know, I would do this recipe again for something like the if I got a Minute Maid or something.
Sure.
You would tailor based on the brands.
But if just with these ingredients, I would probably go more lemonade with these ingredients. Of course, I have limeade, and that's going to throw things off.
Sure, sure.
Well, question for you guys. Is it against the spirit of our dry January episode if I do add a little liquor for round two?
It's against the spirit for sure, but
I think you're fine. January.
Yes. I'm going to try that gin.
Nice.
Oh, I love it.
Ounce and a half of gin.
This is so good. I'm just going to make another one of these.
All right.
Straight up.
Folks, you go ahead and listen to the ads and grab your wallet. Because it's going to be a couple minutes, and we'll come back here with round two after this.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back with round two of the Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
Mm. Whoa. Opening up my huge Arizona.
Ooh, it's good with gin, folks. Good
love
with
that.
Gin.
Oh, yeah? Love yeah. that. How pop. Much would you put in a shot?
Shot in it. Just like a nice shot glass.
Yeah.
I did something I've never done before, and this might even qualify as unprecedented. I inverted the ratios.
Oh, my God. This is great podcasting.
Okay, you're absolutely mad to do it, but
I may be the mad lad, but I did 2/3 lemonade and 1/3 iced tea. The iced tea brand, by the way, I'm using is Tejava Unsweetened.
Ooh.
So we'll see what this is like. I tell you what, it's not bad.
Ooh.
Ooh. I mean, you got that not so sweet lemonade. That's perfect.
Yeah, I think that might be it. No, this is hitting for me.
Seems like any ratio is pretty good. It doesn't really fucking matter.
I think it's the thing. It's two good drinks and they mix together well. So
yeah.
Hey, yeah. You guys feel that earthquake? Timmy, did you feel that earthquake? Is that just me?
I heard something creak. Damn.
I am now feeling something, but I don't know if it's psychosomatic because you mentioned earthquake.
Weird.
That's interesting.
Well, it's maybe the center was Los Feliz and then it reverberated out to Santa Monica.
Yeah, I think so.
Jeff, check your seismic readout.
Huh?
Don't you have a seismic readout machine? What the hell? I got you that gift certificate over to the science store. What did you buy?
My monitor and speakers are on like kind of tall stands, so they were wobbling like crazy. I think that was. Wow. I think it might have been a little quake.
Damn. This drink is making me think it's one of those drinks you take a big sip of it and you say, I didn't realize it was this thirsty.
Yeah, when it hits your lips.
That's the big problem, because I know this has a little bit of caffeine, and I'm very sensitive to caffeine after in the afternoon. So I'm worried about just chugging this bad boy, but it is delicious.
Guys, 42 seconds ago, a 4.5 magnitude earthquake occurred in San Bernardino, California.
Wow.
Wait, dang, there was just like 6 murders in San Bernardino today. That's fucking crazy. Jeez.
Murdered by an earthquake?
Yeah, I think so. Yikes. Jeez. My canned thing is good, but it's a little on the sweet side for me because it is a half and a half. So I was more into my less sweet version, but still poured it on the rocks and it's a delicious drink.
I am in the mood sometimes for those, like the fakey Arnold Palmer Arizona iced tea one, or like when I'm in the mood for a soda, it's like the same thing.
For sure. Yeah.
Like you just want that like shitty sugar.
Have you ever tried it? This was the thing I was thinking about doing, but I didn't. I couldn't get a good sparkling lemonade. But if you tried this with a little bit of effervescence, because I could see this maybe working with a little sparkle. And I feel like sometimes you get the canned ones and they are a little sparkly.
We've done a couple of cocktails with like the sparkling lemonade. What were they? I mean, like there's Tom Collins kind of sorta.
Yeah,
there was.
I don't like the sparkling stuff, other than like seltzer water or something like that, but.
Wasn't there like a Wimbledon drink that had like, or there was like a tennis drink that had European lemonade, which has bubbles.
Okay. You could also do it with brisk iced tea.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nothing's over.
That's brisk, baby.
That's brisk, baby.
Give me some little drink.
A Pimm's cup. That's what the drink is.
Oh, yeah. We've done Pimm's. Is that, that has the lemonade in it?
That's what it says.
Ah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't remember what I would have gotten for that, though.
What wrong ingredient you would have gotten instead of lemonade?
Don't start that in 2024.
I think that the IBA said that you can use ginger ale or sparkling lemonade.
Or like Sprite or something.
Got it.
Yep.
All right.
That's good.
You know what this is reminding me of? For the citrus soda area, I think maybe my favorite overall cocktail is something we've talked about with you on Doughboys, Handman, is a Paloma. I love a Paloma. Ooh.
These guys are more Paloma guys than I am, but yeah.
Grapefruit soda.
Love it.
It's a good...
Lime and tequila, that's good.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one that I do make around the house a lot.
Me too.
With those little Q... What are they? Q mixers. They got a nice little...
Oh, sure. Yes.
They got a nice little tiny... Grapefruit soda.
I got the Mexican squirts in my fridge.
Now, this isn't a fork rating scenario, Weiger. We're not going to put you through that. But okay, you do have to state on the record if you would order this again. Is it an order again?
Yeah, 100%. I'd order this tomorrow. I like either execution I had.
No hesitation.
Like, yeah, give me this is I love this drink. It's great. It's probably. It's you know, black coffee is probably my favorite non-water regular everyday drink, but like
taste wise,
I just have black coffee every day, so I'm so it's just like a thing.
Statistically, it's your favorite,
I guess. So yeah, I feel like it's a thing I couldn't live without. But like my favorite cold drink is this. This is what for a non-alcoholic drink, 100%.
Yeah, tough to beat. That's an order again for me.
I love
too.
It. Yeah,
you know what's so funny? I never thought of this drink as a. You know, something like non-alcoholic beer or the Shirley Temple or Roy Rogers or whatever. But yeah, this makes so much sense as like a kind of a cocktail-y drink you can be hanging out with people.
Well, it's something that needs to be made. It's not something that's coming straight out of the gun or straight out of the bottle. There needs to be a bartender to make it for you.
Yeah.
But like, I think the reason it's not more ubiquitous is that bars don't really have tea, do they?
I think that's part of the thing. So it's so much. It's so often contextual. Like if you're getting brunch or something like this, you can absolutely whip this up. And I think if you're not drinking, a great brunch option.
Sure.
At night at a bar, it might not be available.
But you're not getting this at Ye Rustic Inn, are you?
Yeah, for sure.
No. Too bad.
In a little cave.
We got iced tea in a can in the back somewhere.
Mike, you are an order again?
I am definitely an order again. And of course, this is now more me an ordering more in general, I need to do.
Yeah.
I just need to order more in general. I'll go to a restaurant and just sit there and not the waiter will be like, and for you, and I won't say And then he'll go, everyone will get their food. I'm like, oh, I didn't get anything. Jeez.
I'm like, sorry, I blanked. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I blanked.
Do you have any, what type of breads do you have?
Now, this is an order again for me. And much like that Sopranos scene, I'm going to remember to order it a lot because I love it. But it was just reminding me, you guys, we were talking about Arnold Palmer plays golf, right? You guys know the sport?
Yes.
Golf?
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah, golf.
Okay, well, you all know golf, the sport, but are you familiar yeah. with the golf quiz?
What?
Yes, that's right. I've got some skill testing trivia questions about the sport golf, and you three are going head to head to see who is the golf king of the pod.
Some might say head three head on
head
this one.
Two head, two head.
But I think head three head is correct.
No, okay.
I'm actually,
head three head.
My bad.
You guys are going head three head.
Yeah, Wagner was saying earlier about how he likes, words have to mean what they mean.
Yeah, exactly. And, yes. You know,
head three head is kind of where we're at. On that.
I'm kind of a five head with my hairline these days.
Oh, jeez. Hey, it worked for Vince Vaughn.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know who you look like, Weiger? I meant to say this to you earlier in the football season.
Did that work for him?
He's doing better than ever.
I don't know. He's a big celebrity. Anyway, Weiger, did you watch Josh Allen play football earlier in this season when he had longer hair?
Okay, I think you told me this.
And did I tell you this?
I think so. That there was some passing resemblance.
I think he looked like it. Yeah,
yeah. I'll tell you. He looks like a good looking dude.
And he can run.
He's a gorgeous man.
Weiger, I think you look like Jacob Elordi.
Ooh! Wow. Yeah, okay, I love it.
But you kind of remind me of the bathtub scene somehow.
Your behavior.
I don't know why. It just, when I think of that, like you, I think of a kind of a squirrely Englishman sucking cum out of a bathtub.
Sucking cum.
I don't know. It's just how I'm thinking it.
Nasty.
Did you see Priscilla? He's Elvis in Priscilla.
Ooh, no, I didn't see that, but
no, I want to.
I loved it. Sort of. It's that's I think in my top five of the year. I
really,
think I think it's great. I think it's. But also, I'm like a huge Elvis fan, so it's like very much for me. But I think it's just such a great like character study. But he's like in it, but he's like, it's like a supporting role because it's mostly about Priscilla and mostly about his isolation. But he's just so Elvisy in it. It's the best.
It's so funny to have like because I didn't hear much about that movie, but to have a huge Elvis movie come out last year and then one come out this year is like, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
We like the other one better.
With the new hot boy of the year.
Well, it does seem like they came out in the right order, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know you were a big Elvis guy, Weiger.
I do. I love Elvis. I did love Baz Luhrmann's Elvis movie as well. I thought that was terrific. I think that this one I really liked. I get why it was not as successful and heralded because that one is like this celebration of this tortured guy. And this one is very much like, well, he was kind of a psychopathic monster who groomed a 14-year-old. And also there's none of his music in this. So like it's not like a fun watch, but it's really well done.
So who played Priscilla?
The actor, I'm having trouble remembering her name. She is great. Let me look up the IMDb.
Yeah.
So when you say there's no Elvis music, like he opens his mouth to sing and it's just silence.
Kaylee Spaney is the actress. Maybe Spaney, I don't know how you say that, but like she is great. And, there's just like not really him performing. It's like he's just like he already is this huge star. She knows who he is when she meets him. Yeah. And he has this whole like array of handlers that basically facilitate her being introduced to his life and her parents being like placated and wooed. And it's largely just like does not take place on stage at all. It's just like kind of like there's stuff of him like listening to other people's music and like playing some informally, but he's like doing cover songs.
Ah,
yeah.
Damn.
Interesting.
There's this one scene with Jacob Elordi and Nelly and I keep quoting it to each other as a thing she pointed out, but it's like he's because it's just showing him like what it's like to live with somebody who's so controlling and has these fits of anger. But this point where he's like, get the hell out of here, Priscilla. And then she leaves and he goes like, no, baby, don't go. It's like within like 4 seconds of screen time. It's so great.
No, baby, don't go. Now, wait, hold on. So we've all heard of Elvis and we've all heard of golf, but have you heard of the golf quiz?
Yes, that's wow. No.
Okay, so I'm keeping track here. You don't have to buzz in. You just blurt out your answer and winner takes all. Okay, here we go. Question number one. Ahabe Dubi. This guy is the bad guy character.
Happy Gilmore. Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin.
Yes, Shooter McGavin. Jeff gets it. Shooter McGavin. Very good.
Wagner's got his hand in his face. He doesn't take this seriously.
I loved it.
What a mess. Okay.
What a mess.
Jeff, you're pulling away. Jeff is really pulling away with this. Yeah.
Later, suckers.
Are you writing this down? Because this is going to be difficult now with three people.
I got it.
Four, including the quizmaster.
Mike, trust the quizmaster. Here on the golf quiz.
I haven't yet.
You've heard of the golf quiz, right?
Okay. I've heard of the Gulf Coast.
The Gulf Coast?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
It's not the one you're thinking of, Tim.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Microphone check 1, 2. This rapper owns a clothing line called Golf.
Tyler, the Creator.
Damn, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Jefferson is pulling away.
Wow, I never would have known that.
I wanted to say Earl Sweatshirt. Damn.
I would have guessed Drake. I don't have no idea. I've never heard of this.
Drake Sweatshirt?
Yeah.
Well, there's still a chance for you guys to catch Jeff, even though he's pulling away with
how many questions are on this quiz?
This is about 400 questions. Okay.
Good. Okay.
Question three. Huh. Her last name may be a golf term. Yes, this is true. But she's also in Maestro.
Sally Sandtrap.
Who the fuck is in Maestro? Tina Birdie? Well, no, Tina Birdie's not in Maestro.
I know who it is. It just took me a second to connect it to golf. It's Carey Mulligan.
Oh. There you go. Weiger is on the board with Carey Mulligan. Good. Yes, this
loved
is
Maestro,
true.
By the way.
Yeah, I got to see that.
I haven't seen.
I need to see behind. That,
so. I've been watching a bunch of movies, but none of the relevant ones for 2024.
I know. I watched Saltburn and like thought I was so hip, and I was like, oh, I didn't even get nominated for anything.
Watch What You Dig.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, here we go with the next question. Sure, it's a number, but sometimes golfers yell this.
Four.
Jefferson Dutton takes it.
No way, that was Jeff.
Yeah, I nailed that one.
I know, but I said it first.
Okay, Jeff's got three, Nick's got one, Mike's got a goose egg. How you feel, Mike?
I feel bad. Well, a goose is a type of bird, and as I mentioned, birdie earlier, I'm feeling like I'm now starting to get into the golf vibe.
Okay, all right.
This is funny too, because usually on this podcast we're drunk at this point, and I'm just realized that
I feel sharp as a tack.
Yeah, sharp as a tack. Okay, next question. Adam, baby, these words are quite often followed by the word for this golf club.
Driver.
Yes, Adam and baby are quite often followed by the word driver.
Driver. Mini driver.
Mike, nice to see you on the board. Okay, next question.
It's great to be here.
This small wooden pedestal sounds like an Earl Jefferson is on the board.
T? Oh, God.
Yes, this small wooden pedestal sounds like an Earl Grey drink.
Wow. I was not picturing a golf tee when you say pedestal. I guess it is a pedestal.
Yeah. It's a small wooden pedestal.
I had a friend who was a 40-year-old. He hadn't had sex yet. And he was 40. And his friend kept telling him he was putting the pussy on a pedestal.
Yeah.
I knew this guy. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah. He's a good guy.
I saw him on a TV screen.
He did. I saw the same TV screen. And that's how I know him. And he did end up like ultimately having sex. which is great.
Hell yeah. Great.
It took a while, but he figured it out and he found someone that he loved and connected with.
That's good. I just hope patches of his chest hair were not missing by the end of the movie. Tim, you were about to say something about a question.
You just hope that? That's your only hope?
I just hope against hope that that's what's happening. Yes.
Okay. Well, next question on the golf quiz.
Golf coach.
Youch. This slang term for testicle is also a golf term.
Ball.
Michael Hanford is on the board.
Again.
Yeah. The answer on this golf quiz was ball?
It's a golf term. Yeah, ball.
Okay, it is. No, yeah. It's fair. Yeah.
In golf, they have to swing their club, a driver sometimes, at a ball.
Do you think you're going to spend a whole day on a course and not hear the word ball? Come on.
No, it's fair.
Hey, where's my white sphere?
I'm just bitter because Hanford and Jeff are both pulling away. So,
well, this also might be, it is the golf quiz, so maybe a low score is the thing.
Wow. Oh, right. Oh, that would be an interesting turn.
Yeah, that just might be the thing here on the golf quiz. Jeff has 4, Mike has 2, Weiger has 1. Here we go, next question. Whoa. This golfer's name is similar to the name of an actor John who Dale. Found out his sister was his mother.
Jack Nicklaus.
Oh, yes.
Jack Nicholson.
The answer is Jack Nicklaus because it's similar to the name of the actor who found out his sister was
the golden bear, the silver screen
from the end of Chinatown. I heard that old question. I thought it was a real world event. I didn't process that it was happening to a movie character. I was like, who did that happen to? That's insane. Is that like a silent film era scandal?
Wait, Jack Nicholson, the real Jack Nicholson, did grow up thinking he had a young mom. I mean, yeah. No, thinking he had an old sister. Wait, what did he think? He thought he had an old mom.
Wait, that's true?
Yeah, he grew up thinking his mother was, the person he thought was his sister turned out to be his mother.
Right. Which happened a lot in the old days.
And he was like raised by his grandmother
Raised by his grandmother.
Right, yeah. And thought that was his mother.
I never knew this factoid.
So isn't it weird that the end of Chinatown with the mother, sister, it's insane.
That is totally wild.
You know, it's the type of shit that goes down here on the golf quiz. Okay, next up. Look out below. Tim once made a delivery to this actor's house and saw him angrily pull out a golf club out of his golf bag and walk to a cliff to drive golf balls into
Jack
the
Nicholson.
Cave. Yes, Michael.
There he is.
I saw Jack Nicholson at his house in his garage yelling at his housekeeper because he was looking for his driver. And then he found the driver. He pulled it out of the golf bag and he was wearing a bathrobe and he walked off behind the house because he angrily drives golf balls down into the canyon.
That's like exactly the Jack Nicholson I would want to see in his house, like in a robe yelling at somebody
like, where's my club? That PA guy's pulling away.
Was this like a food delivery or were you dropping off like a script or something?
I was dropping off a birthday present from James L. Brooks.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was trying to, Jack was trying to impress the PA.
Right. He's putting on a show. But here's what was interesting. It's Bad Boy Lane, which was like three houses on this one driveway. Yeah, Warren Beatty. And then remember like old Marlon Brando lived there in a house that was like, I think, bought for him by Nicholson and Beatty or something. But the house that I went to, this is dark. The house that Nicholson lives in is the house where the hot tub is. Where the Roman Polanski thing happened.
Oh my God.
Sexually assaulted a minor.
Jesus. He still lives in that house?
He still lives in that house. And it's the type of thing that comes up on the golf quiz. Okay. Moving on.
Jesus.
Okay. We're in the home stretch here. Youch. This actor once beat up a taxi cab with a golf club.
Wait, say it again. Britney Spears.
God damn it. Fuck.
This actor once beat up a taxi cab with a golf club.
Britney Spears, no?
I didn't know that.
Is it Joe Pesci?
No.
Is it in a movie?
It happened in real life up in the valley. He was angry and he smashed up a taxi cab with a golf
club. Jack Nicholson.
There you go. Mike Hanford.
Whoa.
Okay.
This guy focuses his anger onto his golf clubs. He should rewatch Anger Management is my concern.
We have one question left, and it's Jeff has 5, Mike has 4, Nick has 1. And so I hope you don't tie it up, Mike, because I don't have a tiebreaker question. Ooh. So let's go to the final question. Aw. Jack Nicholson has said that this Royal Tenenbaum's actress was the love of his life.
Angelica Houston.
Oh,
Jeff wins the golf quiz. Congratulations, Jeff. How do you feel?
Nice job, Jeff.
Well done, Jeff.
They were a little item, weren't they?
They were married for like 17 years.
No, that's more than an item, Nick.
Yeah.
He's had like weird quotes where he's like, I think I'm going to die alone. And like, I think the love of my life has passed me by. Like he was a poon hound his whole life. And now he's just like a lonely old man.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's what happens. Sad. That's the Bill Maher fate.
Ooh. Yeah.
Damn. You don't ultimately settle down. You turn into, you end up living at Club Random.
There was a recent Instagram, like a viral clip of Jack Nicholson in an interview in like 1981, like a sit down interview in his house, and the phone rings and he answers it in the interview and he's like, yeah, I'll come by. What's for dinner? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll see you in a bit. And they're like, who's that? And he goes, Toots. And then they're like, who's Toots? And he goes, Angelica.
Wow.
But he's like very, very, it went viral because he's like very in love when he says her name, and he was like getting excited he's like, how much longer is this interview gonna go, because I gotta go to dinner anyway, the love of his life here on the golf quiz. Congrats, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy. Since I'm the winner, I'm gonna bring back Toots. I think that's like, it doesn't need to be derogatory or anything like that. That's a fun word. I think, you should be able to call anyone Toots.
And that's going to be the thing you sort of fight for.
That's my new cause.
I don't know if it's the best cause, but
I don't know
like
either,
it's
but
what he wants to do.
Well, I won the quiz though, didn't I? So what I say kind of goes.
Yeah, that's true. Who am I to say? You won the golf quiz.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And if you can't get enough boys, go to patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys for double the pleasure every week.
Dang.
I like it. I love it.
I love it.
I want some more of it.
Nick, thanks for being here, dude.
Thank you so much for having me. Everyone sign up for The Sloppy Boys Patreon. Support these dudes. Three of the funniest dudes around.
I like that. I like that.
Nick, you read the text I sent you.
We're 3 of the funniest dudes around.
Read this or I'll slap you next time I see you.
And also just the giving the theming of the podcast and this particular episode, I would encourage anyone out there who maybe feels like, hey, maybe I should take a step back from drinking, to just like take a month off. Like it's you'll be surprised like at how quickly the time will fly by, and you'll feel better on the other end, and it may lead to some positive outcomes in your life. So maybe you missed dry January, but we're in February. You can start on any day of the month, and it doesn't need to be a big to-do running up to it. You can just sort of say like, start one day and take 30 days off and just see what happens to your brain and body. Maybe you'll be happier on the other side.
That's great advice, yeah. Nick. Any month can be dry.
Nick Wagner, very funny guy. Love this guy. He's always making jokes. Stick around. We got more episodes of The Sloppy Boys.
He's always making jokes. Comedian.
Where can people find you, Nick?
I got the Doughboys podcast with Mitch, and I got the my podcast Get Played with Heather Ann Campbell and Matt Apodaca, where we talk about video games. Check out either of those. I'm not really on social media, but always happy to have new listeners.
Well, we miss you on X. We miss you on X.
Yeah, I was a fixture on X for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Somebody recently just sent me, they stumbled onto the Heathcliff, the new Heathcliff cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
And sent me like a couple of them. I was like, yeah, they're nuts. And I think what's happening is it's the son took over from the original Heathcliff guy.
Yeah, there's a it's been passed down. I forget the
sorry,
original.
The reason
author
I'm
was,
asking talking to Nick about this is because for the listener, he used to post random Heathcliff cartoons and comment on them, and I like that.
They're total nonsense, and I think the guy has kind of figured out. I forget the name of the current author, but the current author has kind of figured out what that people are kind of liking it, mm-hmm. even ironically. He just is sort of kind of leaning into it, so he's become a little bit more aware of that. Like the randomness is perhaps a little bit more intentional than it used to be.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was this weird, like, it's this weird sort of Dadaist. It's turned into this weird Dadaist single panel strip. If anyone has fallen off of Heathcliff, anyone's not still reading the print funny pages. And it'll be things like you look at, just honestly pull up the latest Heathcliff, and it's probably something like Heathcliff wearing a helmet that has the word gum on it, and then like an old man sitting on a bench saying to a bird, "There he goes again." And it's just like, what is happening?
Also, Weiger, we should say, where would one pull up the latest Heathcliff? Where is this all going down?
I think it's on Go Comics.
GoComics.com.
The funny pages.
Peter Gallagher is the current author. Yeah, George Gately created it, and Peter Gallagher is writing it these days. So this one that I'm looking up, January 24th is the day we're recording this, and this comic is dated that, is Heathcliff walking down the street with a fishbowl on his head, and a fish is in it saying, brah. And two birds are watching the scene unfold. This is a common structure he uses. Something's happening, and then two other characters are commenting on it. And the two birds are saying, a close relative of the brofish. So I guess, like, if brofish is a pun on blowfish, that could work. Mm-hmm. But I think you'd need, like, a blowfish in the panel for that to read. But he's taking it, like, a step further, and it just seems like word salad.
It's like doing a punchline without a setup.
Yeah, really? the one just before this, I promise not to get too deep into this, but the one just before this is Heathcliff at an easel, and he is painting a robot, mm-hmm. and there is a robot sitting behind him, like sitting for his portrait being painted, and two old ladies are saying as they're watching this, he's the area's foremost robot artist. What, like, kind of, what does this have to do with, like, being a cat who likes to eat out of the garbage, which is, like, Heathcliff's essence, you know?
We're past that point fully. I wonder if this is a comment on AI somehow, like AI-generated images.
But it was going on before that.
It's been going on for a while, yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Sure.
I'm with you. It doesn't make a lick of sense to me.
All right, one more. This is two guys with mustaches and glasses are walking down the street on the sidewalk. They are identical. They look like identical twins. And they are with Heathcliff, and all three of them are wearing shirts that say bro. And then two children are watching this from across the street, and the boy says to the girl, this looks like trouble.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Jesus Christ.
This one makes sense. From January 22nd, we've got outside of a church, there's a priest. Well, first of all, in the church, there's a sign that says peace and love. And Heathcliff, there's a pile of dogs that just got beat up, and Heathcliff has his fist raised, so he beat them up. And the priest is standing on, he's holding a Bible, he's standing on the front of the church, and he says, come on, man, to Heathcliff.
One of the more sensical ones.
It makes sense.
It's very good.
And that's like more of a classic sort of like you know, smiler of a joke.
Well, yeah. Smiler. I'm bending over laughing at this. All right.
All right, folks, check out Heathcliff.
And if you want to see funnier things than Heathcliff, come out to Bottle Rocket in Pittsburgh. I'm going to be doing an hour of stand-up there on February 3rd. It's going to be a fun one.
Wow.
Dang. Nice. Hey, good episode, guys.
Very
great
good
stuff. Thanks, Nick.
Very good stuff.
Thank
Nick.
Thank you.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
See you next week.